Today's daf is Erichin Daf Dalid. We left off, I believe we're on the top of Daf Dalid Amr Aleph. So I think we're in the second line of Daf Dalid Amr Aleph. So we had just said, so says the Gemara, we're at the fourth line, the two dots, I'm sorry. So we're going through all the different cases where we said Hakol in Shas. And each time we say Hakol in Shas, the Braisa tells us that it comes to include Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. And then we went through the Gemara, what that extra word Hakol comes to include in addition to the Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim that are mentioned in all of these Makoros and all of these Mishnayos. So now we're analyzing the Mishnayos themselves, that why do you need to tell me that Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim are Chayiv in each of these things? So says the Gemara at the two dots now on the fourth line of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Hakol chayavim b'mikra Megillah, Kohanim Levim v'Yisraelim. It says that everybody's chayav b'mikra Megillah, Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim. So pshita, of course Kohanim Levim Yisraelim are chayav. Why wouldn't they be chayav? So says Malo Tzricha, liv til avodasam. No, the chiddush is that even to be mevatel them from their avoda, they would have to stop their avoda to go do mikra Megillah. Kot Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and that is exactly what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kohanim b'avodasim, Levim b'duchanim, v'Yisrael b'mamadan, mevatam avodasim, bal nishmol mikra Megillah. If a Kohen is doing the avoda, the Levi is in the duchan, doing his duties in the base of Hikdash, the Yisrael are doing their mamados, still they all have to be mevatal their particular jobs in order to go read the Megillah. That's all part of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. The Ritva writes in Maseches Megillah that Kohanim have to be Mvatim Avoda Mikra Megillah even in a way, even in a situation where they're not going to be able to get back to the Avoda and do the Avoda later. So it turns out that it's not just that they're delaying the Avoda from Mikra Megillah. Says the Ritva, they have to be Mvatel, it's Meduyok, they have to be Mvatel the Avoda entirely from Mikra Megillah, because the Chachamim have the ability, even though Mikra Megillah is only Midrabbanan, the Chachamim have the ability to be Oker Dover Minatora B'Shevi Altas. And therefore, the Chum have the right to tell them, don't do your mitzvah d'oraisa of avoda, instead, do mikra Megillah. That's how the Ritva says that someone suggests. He quotes a Yesh Omen like that, but he says, inu mechuvar. It doesn't seem that that's really correct. He says, when we say, shal beis Rebbe, mevatan Talmud Torah, uba'in likrosa Megillah, it means that mevatan migamri, legamri mi Talmud Torah, that's because mikra Megillah is a mitzvah of veres, with Talmud Torah, you could do the next day. But if you have a mitzvah of veres, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and mikra Megillah, which is a mitzvah veris, then certainly the mitzvah da'oraisa, says the Ritva, would take precedence. So, again, the Ritva quotes a Yesh Omrin, that you would even have to be mevatel the avoda entirely for mikra Megillah, but the Ritva says, Eina mechuvar, it's incorrect, that it's only when you're going to be able to make up the avoda later on, like in the parallel case where you're mevatel Talmud Torah, because you could make it up later, only in such cases are you mevatel mitzvah da'oraisa for the sake of Mikra Megillah. The Taz writes that Mikra Megillah is not a Durabanan at all, it's Divrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah have a din of Divrei Torah. And that's why you can, Taz sides with those that say that the Mevatel the Avoda entirely, with that sheet in Rishonim that's quoted by the Ritva, and but Mikra Megillah is only a din Durabanan, says the Taz, no, it's not. Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah is as strict as a din D'Oraisa sometimes. So that's the idea that we're Mevatel for Mikra Megillah. Now it would turn out that according to the Taz, that would only apply for Mikra Megillah by Yom. Mikra Megillah B'Layla is definitely only Midrabanan. It's only Mikra Megillah during the daytime that actually has this status of Divrei Kabbalah. That's why, if you hold that the reason we discussed earlier, the reason that women can't be motzi men in Mikra Megillah is that Avhein Hoibos Anes is only a Mechayiv Midrabanan, and men are Chayiv in Divrei Kabbalah, women who are only Chayiv Mishmafin Hoibos Anes will only be Chayiv Midrabanan. If that's what you hold, then it would turn out that a woman should be able to motzi a man at the nighttime Mikra Megillah, because at nighttime even a man's chiyuv is only midrabanan. It's not midivrei Kabbalah. Okay, weiter in the Gemara says Gemara kol chayavim bezimun kohanim levim Yisraelim. We said that everybody's chayav in zimun, including kohanim levim Yisraelim. In fact, the Gemara pshita. Why wouldn't kohanim levim Yisraelim be chayav in zimun? So tzrich dekach li kodshim. Now we're talking about a case where the kohanim reading kodshim. Salgad adchamina v'achlo sama shakupar behem amrachmana v'hakaparehi. I might have thought that an eating that's not there purely purely for satiation purposes, but is there to provide kapara for the Baal HaKarban, the Kohanim Ochlim, the Bailim Mischaprim, the Kohen eats, and the Bailim, the owner of the Karban, gets kapara, so I would have thought that such an eating does not require Zimun. Kamash Milan, Yachalta V'Savata Merachmana V'Ha Isnehu, as long as you eat and you were Soveya, so that's enough to create a chi of zimun. Hakol mitzdarf in the zimun kohanim levim yisraelim. We also said everybody's chayiv in zimun, including kohanim levim yisraelim. Pshita. So isn't that obvious as well? It says gemara lo tzricha de ka'achli kohanim truma o kachim v'zar ka'achil chulin. No, we're talking about a case where the kohen is eating truma or kachim, which a non-kohen is not allowed to eat, and a zar who's eating together with him is eating chulin. So I salkadai techamina. I would have thought hol v'ibay zar l'meichel b'hadi kohen. Since if the Tzar wanted to eat together with the Kohen, he would not be able to partake of what the Kohen was eating, because the Kohen's eating Truma, same as Litzdarif. Maybe the Tzar shouldn't be able to be Mitzdarif to such a Zimun. So Kamash Malan, what's the Chiddush? Granted, the Tzar can't eat what the Kohen's eating, but the Kohen can eat what the Tzar is eating. So even though it's a one-way street, the fact that one of the people involved can eat the food being eaten by everybody, even though it's only in one direction, that would be enough to be mitzdarif luzimun. Says Tosos, Dibra Maschal B'Hach, about halfway through, Umikan nira de gimel b'nei adam hamudarim hana'a zemizeh, it would therefore turn out that if you have three people that all have a neder hana'ah from each other, they're not allowed to partake of each other's food, so then they would not be able to be mitzdarif, because no single one of them could eat with the others. Umiu nira, however, says Tosfos, maybe the gimel b'nei adam amudar ne'ein araya brura. Maybe that's not really an exact parallel. The shiny truma she'ein la heter lezara filu b'sheila. My shein b'nudar hana. If I take a neder hana, I could always be shoal on the neder. You could undo a neder. There are ways around a neder. There's no way around a zar eating truma. A zar is simply not allowed to eat truma, and therefore, even though if a czar is not allowed to eat truma, the czar would, if it hadn't been a two-way street, they would not be mesarif to zimun. The inability for the czar to eat truma would cause a lack of tzira for zimun. Maybe when you mudar hana'ah from somebody, it's not as much of a break from that person's food. It's not as much of a disconnect with that person's food, because you can always undo the neder. That is the chiddush of Tosfos. Prima Gadim writes that al karchach, we're not trying to say that the Kohanim over here were eating lachma panim or menachos, because those are only eaten in the Azara. In the Azara, it's not shaykh that they're eating together with the Zar, because there's an Isidra Rabbanon at the very least for Zar to be in the Azara eating. So it must be that we're talking about that the Kohen is eating lechem that's balua with the tam of chaz v'shok or zro b'shela that are allowed to be eaten b'chol ha'ir. And nevertheless, the Kohen is not mitzayv to the Zimun, would not be mitzayv to the Zimun if not for the fact that he's able to partake of the Yisrael's food. Meaning, the Yisrael is not allowed to partake of his bread, which is sullied with the Basar Kachin. But it can't possibly be talking about, says the Prima Gadim, a case where he's actually eating Lechem HaPanim or Menachos, because then it would never be that they'd be in the same room. They can't, the Tzar can't be eating in the Azara together with the Kohen. Says Rav Yisro Zalman Meltzer in the Evan HaAzel, in Hilchos Brachos Perek Hey, Halach Yud Beis, that we're talking about that the Kohanim are eating in the Azara, and the Yisrael is eating Chutz LaAzara. Aye, how would they be mitzdarif anyway? They're not eating together, says the Evan Azal, no problem. As long as Mektsas and Ro and Elu Es Elu, the Mishnah Brachos tells us, some of the people in each party are able to see each other, that's enough to be mitzdarif them. Or if Sheyesh Shamash Beinehem, they have the same waiter that's serving them, so that's also enough to be mitzdarif to Zimun. That's all you need in order to be mitzdarif to the Zimun. Beis Yosef, a different issue, the Beis Yosef quotes in the name of the Ogur, that Yesh Omrim, that even if two Yisraelim are eating Pas Akum, and the Kohen is Nizhar in Pas Akum, nevertheless they're mitzdarif to Zimun, because if they were to have Pas Shalchulin, they would all be able to eat together. So the Beis Yosef says that such a comment is Devarim Betelim. Our Sukya is exactly not that way. Our sugya said we have to say in our sugya that the kohen is able to eat with the yisrael. We don't say that since it's efshar that the kohen could eat chulin if chulin were to come up and that the yisrael would be able to partake of, that that's why they're able to mistarif. No, it's only because the kohen is able to eat from the yisrael's food. We don't envision some other food that's not here being in the hands of the kohen in order to allow it. So he thinks that the comment of the agur says the Beis Yosef is dvar betalim to say that because the Yisrael, if they had different bread that wasn't Pasakum, the Kohen would be able to partake of that. Who cares? He would be. That doesn't mean anything to us. So the Taz writes that the Beis Yosef is Moda in a place where it's Shchiach, Pas Yisrael, that it would be Mitztarev. Because then it's not just Efshar in the distant imagination that it could be that they would have Pas Yisrael. It's actually very likely that they would get Pas Yisrael. And therefore that would be enough for to be Mitztarev. Okay, says the Gemara now further. Hakol ma'arichin kohanim levim Yisraelim. Anyone can do erichin, can make an erech vow. Kohanim levim Yisraelim. So pshita, of course everyone can make an erech vow. So Amar Rava lo nitzcha ela leben Bukhri. Now the chiddush is according to Ben Bukhri. Deitanan Amar Yehuda, hey Ben Bukhri b'yavne kol kohen sheshok aleinu chote. Ben Bukhri said that any kohen that gives a machzah shekel is not in violation of an avera. The kohen is allowed to partake, is allowed to participate in giving machzah shekel. So Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, lo kein, ela kol kohen she'eino shokel chote. He says, it's not just that it's okay for a kohen to give machzah shekel. Any kohen who doesn't give machzah shekel is considered to be a chote. Kol kohen she'eino shokel is chote. Tosus quotes, the drasha is, ze yitnu, zez bigamatria, yud beis shvatim, that all yud beis shvatim give machzah shekel. So we could have also said, kol levi she'eino shokel, but is a chote, but because we're not going to be able to explain why Levim would have abstained from giving Machzah Shekel, the same way we'll be able to explain why Kohanim chose to abstain, that's why we leave Levi out of the Levim out of the conversation, says Tosos. But really, it could have been about the Levim also, because the whole word is Zeh, that all Shvatim participate. So any Kohen or Levi that is Eino Shokel, that doesn't give Machzah Shekel, is considered to be a chote. Elisha Kohanim Darshan Mikras Eliatman. Why did Kohanim refrain from giving Machzah Shekel? They darshaned the Pasuk to their own benefit. The Pasuk says, V'kal minchas kohen kaliltia lo se'achel, that any mincha of a kohen is entirely burnt and may not be consumed. Now the Omer and the Shtei Alechem and Lechem Apanim are menachos that are bought from the communal funds, from the Machzah Shekel funds. So the Kohanim figured, Ho ilva Omer Shtei Alechem Lechem Apanim Shalanu Heim, since if we were to contribute to the Machzah Shekel, the halacha is we're supposed to eat them. But the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat anything that belongs to a kohen. Heichem ne'achalin, how could they be eaten? If we were to contribute to them, then they would be purchased with kohen money. Anything that's purchased with kohen money, any mincha that's purchased with kohen money, the din is, has to be kulo kalil, can't be eaten, but we have a mitzvah to eat these things. So we better not give the money, because if we give the money, it's going to cause problems. That was their justification. Uben bunchri nami, kimun de lechachilu lo mechaybi lasuye, kimaisi nami chotehu, de kamayil chul nazare. Ask the Gemara, wait a second, according to Ben Bukhri, they have the option, they're allowed to, but are not mechuyav to give matzah shekel. So ask the Gemara, according to Ben Bukhri, if they have the option, it means they're not chayiv to give matzah shekel, why don't we assume that any matzah shekel they bring is going to be chul nazara? So ask the Gemara, de maisi luhu masal tzibur. Now the situation is, they bring the Machzah Shekel and then give it as a gift to the Tzibur. It's a contribution to the communal funds. Salka Daidichamina. So I might have thought, since the Pasuk says kol erkecha yeh b'shekel hakodesh, again, this is all trying to answer what is the chiddush in telling me that kohanim are ma'arich, that kohanim can do erichin. So we started with this whole megillah here about a kohen and machzah shekel. We had this machlokas, whether a kohen is pater from machzah shekel or chayiv in machzah shekel. Ben Bukhri said he's pater from machzah shekel, but is allowed to volunteer to bring machzah shekel. So Gemara said, what does Machzah Shekel have to do with Erechin? Ah, because the Pasuk says, Bekol Erechicha Yeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. So we would darshan, Kol Di'isei B'Shkolim, Isay be'erichin. Anyone who's chayiv in machsa shekel is chayiv in erichin. Mahani kohanim ho v'lesu b'shkalim lesu be'erichin. But kohanim, since they are not included in machsa shekel, mele they're not included in erichin either. Ka mashma lan. That's what it comes to teach me, that they are included. That's why it has to say hakol kohanim levim and yisraelim, because I might have associated shkalim to erichin to shkalim. Shkalim they're pater according to Ben Bukhari. Therefore, I might have thought that they can't be ma'arich either. So kamash mulon that akol ma'arichin kaihanim levim v'yisraelim. So that is all the way that Rava understood. Who was it, Rava? I remember. That is the way Rava. Yeah, that Rava understood the chiddush of saying the kohanim are ma'arichin. Says the Gemara, no, not so fast. Amalei Abaye, hi. No, we already used that pasuk for a different rasha. We use the pasuk v'kol erkecha not to teach me that anyone who's b'shekel is in the parsha of erichin as well. No, it comes to teach me that any erich vow that's made has to be paid with a minimum of one sela. You can never give less than one sela, even if the person is poor and can't afford the full erich value. Still, you never give less than one sela. Elo Amar Abaye, rather Abaye says, this is why you need to tell me the Kohanim are Ma'arichin. Isrich, Sal Gadayr Chamina Holok Siva Pduyam Min Chodesh Tivte Be'erkicha. So I might have read that pasuk and therefore concluded called the Isay B'Pidyon Ben Isay Be'erichin, that only those who are included in Pidyon Ben are included in Erichin. Because after all, it says Upiduyom Ben Chodesh, it's about Pidyon Ben, and it says Tivte Be'erkicha, makes a reference to Erichin. So I would assume that only those who are included in Pidyon Ben are included in Erichin. Vani Kohanim Hol V'Lesnu Pidyon Ben, Lesnu Be'erichin. But Kohanim who are not included in Pidyon Ben should therefore not be included in Erichin either. Kamash Malon. That's why it has to come and teach me that Hakol Ma'arichin, everybody can be Ma'arich, even Kohanim and Levim who are not included in Pidyon Ben. So Amalei Rava Elameata, if that's the case, Gabe El Hashem Duchsiv Es Hashem Al Yavid Hashem El Tav Minatzon Be'erkecha, are you really going to make that kind of drasha anytime the Torah uses the Lashon of Erech? By the El Hashem, the ram that you bring as a Karban Hashem, the Torah says, also uses the Lashon of Erech. So Achinami, you want to make a similar drasha called Do you say Be'erichin, you say Be'el Hashem, Tumtum Vandrogilis, Lassu Be'erichin, Lassu Be'el Hashem? If that would be the case, you would then exclude a Tumtum Vandrogilis from El Hashem, which is simply not the case. That is simply not true. So this style of drasha, of just taking the word Erech, as it appears in the pasuk, and saying that whatever the context that pasuk is only those who are chayiv in erichin or chayiv in that context, or only those chayiv in the, whatever the context of the pasuk is, or chayiv in erichin, would lead you to incorrect conclusions. Ella amar Rava, rather Rava says pshat is different. The first approach, even though the Gemara said Rava, the gears on the side changed it to Rabba. So there are three total approaches. We saw two of them so far as to why I would have a Hava Amina, that a Kohen is not included, is not able to be Ma'arich. What's the Hava Amina that the Kohen should not be Ma'arich? We had Rabba, not Rava, Rabba, who said because since the Kohen is Pater from Machsa Shekel, according to Ben Bukhari, we would think he's also not able to be Ma'arich. We had Abaye who said that since a Kohen doesn't do Pidyon HaBen, we would think he can't be Ma'arich. And now we have Rava. Elo Amar Rava, Vitem Ravashi Isrich, Salta Dach Lina Holo Ksiv, Vem Midu Lefnei HaKohen, Velo Kohen Lefnei Kohen. I might have thought since the Pasuk says Vem Midu Lefnei HaKohen, which implies that whoever you're vowing about has to be stood up in front of the Kohen, but there therefore, we darshin it can't be a Kohen in front of a Kohen. Kamash Malan. Therefore, comes teach me that it can even be a Kohen in front of a Kohen, that even a Kohen can be Ma'arich. So that's about Hakol Ma'arichin. A couple of points over here. First of all, we mentioned that the Omer and Shtei Alechem, Lechem Apanim, so the Kohanim were going to say, look, we can't pay for this, because if we pay for this, then we won't be allowed to eat it, but there's a mitzvah to eat these things. So why don't we hold that way? So Rashi writes, no, we don't hold like the Kohanim, because Dafka, the Minchas Kohen Gomor is not Nechel, but the Minchas Tzibur, even if there happens to be Mamun Kohen mixed in there, we would follow the Rov. We wouldn't say, oh, it's a Kohen's Karban, and therefore we're not allowed to eat eat it. That's why we don't pass like the Kohanim. That's why we hold Kohanim are permitted and encouraged to contribute to the Machsa Shekel. So, because anyway, whatever money they contribute is going to be batal berov. We holichachar rov, he says. Doesn't say batal berov. Rashi says we would follow the majority of the money. Mishnah Melech writes, what Rashi must mean by that is that it's batal berov. Mishnah Melech in the seventh parak of Mi'ilah, halach vav, that it must mean that the money is batal berov. And he quotes from the Mahari al Pandari, who proves from the Kohanim's Shita, from the Kohanim's justification, that a Matbeya is Chashuv and is not Batal Barov. And that's why the Kohanim were worried about having that their money go toward paying for these Tzibor Karbanos, because, yeah, they were familiar with the concept of Bitl Barov and that their money could be Batal, but they said, no, Matbeya Chashuva cannot be batel. So that's a Mari al-Pandari proves from the Cheshbin of the Kohanim that a Matbeya Chashuva cannot be batel. Says the Mishnah Lemelech, terrible raya from our sugya. Because it could be that the Kohanim, first of all, never mixed their money with the money of the other Yisraelim, so that their shkalim should not become batel. Had they mixed it together and made a real tarovis out of it, maybe in a chinami, they would have become batel. And furthermore, from Rashi, it's clear, fakert, it's clear that we don't pass like the Kohanim because the Kohanim were wrong about this bittel business. They thought that their money will not become batel, maybe that's what they thought. But the reason we don't pass like them is because we hold the money does become batel. So very, very difficult to understand, says the Mishnah Melech, what the Mari al-Pandari is really driving at over here. Another point over here, the Gemara had said we'd have a Havamina that only those who are Isei Bishkalim are Isei Be'erichin, right? That was the first answer of Rabba, that we would think that only those who are Chayiv in Shkalim or Chayiv in are able to participate in Erichin. And Kohanim, according to Ben Bukhri, are not Chayiv in Shkalim. So the Shara Melech raises the following kasha. According to the Bartanura, who holds that a Pachas Ben Esrim Shana is Potter from Shkalim, so it would therefore be possible to say that Pachas Ben Esrim Shana should prove this Cheshbin wrong. What was the whole Cheshbin? That anyone who's Potter from Shkalim is Potter from Erichin. Well, if Pachas Ben Esrim Shana is Potter from Shkalim, we know that he's not Potter from Erichin. It's Beferish in the Torah that there's an Erich value for someone from 30 days old till 5 years old, and another Erich value from someone from 5 years old to 20 years old. So we see they're obviously Chayiv in Erichin. So it should show Fakert, it should show that this Cheshbin is obviously wrong. So says the Shara HaMelech that you have to say that since he's Bali Dechiv Shkalim, once he gets old enough, meaning age is a mum over, once he gets old enough, he would come Lidechiv Shkalim. So Mela, that's considered Isei B'Shkalim, and therefore he's Isei B'Erichin as well, meaning that would not be a problem for us, that would not be a hochacha, that just because you are Pater from Shkalim, that you're Pater from Erichin, because Adrabah, he's considered Chayiv B'Shkalim, even though he's Pater when he's less than 20 years old, because one day he will be Chayiv in Shkalim. Okay, says the Gemara, weiter now. Ne'erachin. We said that Hakol is Ne'erachin. Anyone could be the subject of an Erech vow. Lasi, Menuvel Mukashchin. That comes to include that Hakol, we had said, comes to include that even a Menuvel Mukashchin have an Erech. They don't have any Damim, they don't have any monetary value, but an Erech they do have, because they have a gender and they have an age. So, Minan Emili, how do I know that's true that Menuvel Mukashchin have an Erech? Ditan Rabbanon, because the Brisa teaches, Be'erkecha lavi Erech Stam. That's the gear that they change it to throughout the whole Sugya Stam. To include even an Erech Stam, person never says the Erech of what, he just says Erech Stam. The Gemara, we're going to explain, this is the long Brisa here, the Gemara is going to explain line by line. Right now it's meant to be a little bit vague. Dover Acher, Be'erkecha, Erech Kulohu Nosin Vlo Erech Evarim. He gives the Erech of his entire body, but not the Erech of individual Evarim. I might think that if a person even promises, donates the erech of his head, let's say, which he can't live without, obviously, it's an eivor shenashama tuliyabo, that still he wouldn't have to give anything because there's no such thing as an erech for just eivarim. Tamalom or nefashos. That's why the pasuk says nefashos, that it's totally on the nefesh. And if he is ma'arich something that the neshama tuliyabo, that his life is it hinges on, so that's going to be considered a valid erech vow of his entire Erech value. Nefashos below a mace. We also darshan nefashos and not a mace. If he says an erech of a mace, so that's lo amar klum, that's absolutely worthless. So again, so far, two drashas from the word nefashos. One to teach me that if he's marich a davar an aver shan neshama tuliya bo yischayiv, and the other tell me that an erech of a dead body is not an erech at all. Otsias a mace for otsias ha goseis. So I might think, okay, we'll preclude a mace from having any erech value, but maybe a goseis should still be considered to have erech value. Goseis, someone who's about to die. Tam lomer vehemid veherech. That's what the pasuk says. Vehemid veherech. You have to stand them up to do erech and kol sheyeshna ba'amada yeshna ba'aracha. Only those who could be stood up to be evaluated can have erech. The kol sheyna ba'amada ina ba'aracha. But anyone who cannot be stood up cannot have an erech value. And a goseis is unable to stand up to withstand a full erech value evaluation. Actually, before we get to the Davar Acher, Tosfos raises the kasha that the Gemara in Chulin, it's very clear that a behema mefarcheses, a behema that's still jumping around, you could still do the din of Hamada. Even after you shechted it and it's still just convulsing, it could still stand for Hamada. So why should mefarcheses be different than a goseis? Mefarcheses is better, is more capable of having Hamada than a goseis. So Tosfos says, yeah, because an animal has more life to it than a person does. So an animal has more vitality to it. So even if, when it's past the stage of goseis, it's already mefarcheses, it's pretty much dead, it's efshar lahamida. But a human goseis doesn't have that much life to him, and he is unable to stand on his feet. The Brisker Rav is medayik from Tosfos that the din of hamada is that it literally needs to be omed al raglav. It literally needs to be physically capable of being omed al raglav at the time of the pidyon. However, the Meiri in Chulin understands differently. He says mefarcheses can't stand up on its feet, but nevertheless, since it has chiyus, it's considered to be b'chlal ha'amada. Sounds from the Meiri that the din of ha'amada is for something that's nifta, that it has to have a level of chiyus, but not that it literally needs any sort of actual ha'amada. Okay, but anyway, so far we learned two things from the word nefashos. We learned that in Eivir Shanashama Tuliyabo, that's considered the erech of the full body, and we learned nefashos v'lo ames, that there's no erech to a dead body. Davar acher, third thing, nefashos, en li ala echad sherech echad. Echad sherech mea minayin. I would only know that if one person is ma'arich one other person. How do I know that I can vow an erech, the erech of 100 different people? So tamalom nefashos, that's the third thing that we have from nefashos, that even one individual can vow the erech value of 100 different people. Why would I assume there's a limitation? I would assume that I can't say I give the Erech of Reuven and I give the Erech of Shimon, and then in a week from now I say I'll give the Erech of Levi, and in another week, how many times are you allowed to give Erech in your life? That there can be a limitation? What would that have? I mean, that there's such a limitation. So Tosfos says, no, the point is that if you say I'm going to give the Erech of this one and the Erech of that one and the Erech of that, that's fine. But if you say only one Lashon of Erech and you say I'm going to give the Erech of Ploni, 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 and then you mention multiple names all at once without dividing them into separate erechin, that's what I would have thought is no good, and that's what the pasuk says in the Nefashos, that you just add them all up together and that's what you give. Davar acher, a fourth pshat in what Nefashos is coming to teach me. Nefashos, ein li ala isha herich, bein ish ben isha. I would only know that a man could be marich either a man or a woman. Isha sharicha ish. Isha sharicha isha minayin. How do I know that a woman could also make an erich vow? Tamalom Nefashos. Davar acher, fifth pshat in what Nefashos is coming to teach me. Nefashos, the rabbis menuvel mukashchin. That a Nefashos comes to tell me that even a menuvel mukashchin are included. Sheyachal, neder be'erkicha, kol sheyashon b'dam yeshon be'erkin. I would have thought that neder be'erkicha, only those who are included in damim, who have value, can be included in erichin, are considered to have an erech. But kol sheyashon b'dam yeshon be'erkin, tam lomar, Nefashos. That's what the pasuk comes to tell me, Nefashos. So remember, we started this conversation by saying Hakol ne'erachin is la'suyu menuvel mukashchin. So we want to know, where do we learn that from? So we quoted this whole long brisa because the fifth limud of nefashos in this brisa is that a menuvel and mukashchin have an erech, even though they don't have any damim. V'haya erkecha, the brisa continues, the rabbis tumtum adroginus ledavim, that the tumtum and drogonus also have monetary value. Sheyat, meaning if you say you're going to give the demay, the value of a tumtum and drogonus, that does work. You might have thought that only those who have an erech have damim, and anyone who doesn't have an erech doesn't have damim. So since a tumtum and drogonus, because they have ambiguous sexuality, they have their gender is ambiguous, so I would have thought that therefore, since they don't have an erech, they therefore shouldn't be included in damim either. And even if you say demay tumtum alai, it should be worthless. Tamalom reyarcha hazachar zachar v'lo tumtum androgynous. That zachar, it comes to tell me that a zachar v'lo tumtum androgynous have an erech, but that's dafka by erech. Yachalo yuhu berech ish, alu yuhu berech isha. So I might have thought, oh no, tumtum androgynous don't have the erech of a man, but they should still have the lower value erech of an isha. Tamalom reyarcha hazachar v'imnekevahi. Zachar vaday nekeva vadois v'lo tumtum androgynous. The only people that have an erech are males and females, not tumtum androgynous, who are neither male nor female. That is the end of the brisa. We are going to then now discuss line by line of that brisa in greater detail. Just a couple of points before we do that. The Gemara had said, I would only know about an ish that could do erechin for an ish or an isha. How do I know an isha could do erechin for an ish or an isha? So Tosus of Maseches Sukkah, Daf Chaf Chesam and Beis, asks, why do I need a pasuk to include a woman as a ma'arich, someone who's able to make an erichin vow? It's a davar pasuk. You should learn from the fact that we're makish ish li'isha l'kalon shem shabbatorah. By all halachas in the Torah, we always assume a woman is included. There's a handful of mitzvahs that a woman is part from, mitzvah shazman grama, and there are more exceptions to the rule by mitzvah shazman grama. By the time you get through the all the afin ha'yibel so'aneses and kol shekesh v'batol chel chamizesh v'kumel chol matzah, there's a handful of mitzvahs at most that women are part from. Why would I assume a woman is not included in the parsha in the Torah of erichin? So Tosfos mitarets that the hekesh works, the fact that we're makish, a man, we make a hekesh between men and women for all dinim in the Torah, that's only when the Torah writes a parsha or a mitzvah b'lashon zachar. That's where we say, oh, the hekesh teaches us that even though it's b'lashon zachar, a woman's included as well. But whenever the Torah doesn't just say b'lashon zachar, but it even gives stronger terminology to suggest that we're only talking about a man, like when the Torah says the word ish, then we definitely are mema'it in isha. We would not include a woman. The same thing by Mekalel Avi'ima. The Torah says ish. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has to dafka bring a riboy to include women. Because when the Torah emphasizes ish, the clear assumption would be that women are not included, unless we have some other indication that women are included. That's how Tosfos Maseches Sukkah explains why there's a hava amina over here that women cannot make an erech vow. One more point before we go weiter in the Gemara. The Gemara had said, Vayerkha Zachar, that excluded Tumtum Vandroganus. We might have thought maybe the Tumtum Androgynous still have an Erech Isha. So that's why I'd say no, Zachar Vadai, Nekeva Vadai. Rashi Maseches Bechoros writes that we might have thought that L'chumra he should be Nerech K'Zachar. And that's why I need a special pasuk to tell me that he's not Nerech K'Ish, that a Tumtum Androgynous doesn't have the Erech of an Ish. So Sasemis asks, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that? How is there even a havamina to be mechayiv him in more money? It's pashut that whenever you have a suffix in a monetary issue, hamotzi mechaveru alav harayah. So how could there even be a havamina that, like Rashi writes, that Rashi says in Maseches Bechoros, Rashi in Bechoros daf mem beis amud aleph, how could there be a havamina that you would give a tumtum androgynous the higher value erech of an ish out of a suffix, whatever happened to Amotzi Mechavero, Alav Haraya? So Sfasemis is Matari, so the Brisa means to say that we're talking about a case where you rip him open afterwards, the Tumtum gets ripped open, and it turns out that he was a Zachar. So that's where I need a Pasuk to tell me that even so, that you later found out that he's a Zachar, still he wouldn't pay the Erech Ish if at the time that the Erech vow was made, he was still a Tumtum. But in the Hashmatos, he quotes Rashi over here, that Misafik would have been Machmir, that it could be Nerach Kezachar, and that's because it's not just a Safik Mamon. No, it's a Safik Isser of Bal Yachel Devaro, that if you make a Neder, you now have a din in Isser Veheder, that you have to fulfill that Neder. So it would be a violation of Bal Yachel Devaro. And even according to the Rambam, who holds that every Safik Daraisa min haTorah is lekula, that the din of Sabbath d'oraisa l'chumra itself is only a din d'rabbanan. Still, over here, without the pasuk, I still would have said he's chayiv in the erech, because without any pasuk at all, I would assume he's chayiv in an erech. I just wouldn't know which one, the erech ish or the erech of an isha, and therefore it's already ischazik isura. And when it's ischazik isura, when the isra is already muchsak, then even the Rambam would be modeh savik daraisa l'chumra zedin. Da'oraisa. When do we say Sofet Da'oraisa L'chumra is only Yidin D'Rabbanan? When does the Rambam hold that way against the Rashba? The Sofet Da'oraisa L'chumra is only Yidin D'Rabbanan. That's when there's no Cheskas Iser. But if you have Ischazik Isura, then I would have assumed that Sofet Da'oraisa L'chumra, even the Rambam would assume, Sofet Da'oraisa L'chumra is a Din D'Oraisa. So that's how the Sfasamis explains what the Hava Amina is, that a Tumtum Androgon is why I would have naturally assumed that they would pay the Erech of an Ish. Okay, now let's go back into the Gemara and analyze each line of this brisa that we just quoted. Amar Mar, about 12 lines into the page, and Avdal Rav Beis. Amar Mar, the Erech Chal Rabus Erech Stam. So my Erech Stam, what is an Erech Stam? Titania HaOmer Erech Stam Alai Nosin Kapach Shabei Erech. And if someone says, I accept to pay an Erech Stam, he doesn't say the Erech of any given person, just Stam. So then you give the smallest Erech, the smallest amount that we could have. V'kam Apach Shabei Erech, Shlosh Shkalim. How much is the least of the Erechin? It's 3 Shkalim. The maybe you should not give the pachas, maybe you should give the highest erichin value of the male in the 20 to 60 range, which is 50 shkalim. So tafastamu below tafasta, tafastamu at tafasta. Now the halacha is that whenever you're not sure what to do, you always go with the lower number. If you try to grab for the higher number, lo tafasta. They a shekel, but maybe it should be a shekel. Because the halacha is, the Torah says, that if you try to collect an erich from an ani who doesn't have anything, at the very least he should give at least a shekel. You can never take less than a shekel. So maybe that's what Erech Stam means, a shekel. And it's Gemara, who basically, no, that's dafka, a parsha for an ani. That's not true of a normal person who makes an Erech Stam. Why do I need a pasuk then to tell me that he would give shlosh shkalim? Obviously, he would give the smallest Erech Vav. So Rav Nachman, Rav Barvua, lomar she'eno nidon behesagad. The chiddush is good for that, to tell me that you shouldn't treat him like an ani, where you just collect the bare minimum. My time, because when he says an Erech Stam, it's as if he said an explicit Erech. Which explicit erech? The cheapest explicit erech. Ikadabri, others have the conversation in the reverse, that Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Nidon Behesag Yad, that the actual halacha is that he gets Hesag Yad. The actual halacha is that he's treated with the erech value of just a shekel. That's what he has to pay. So pshita is not obvious. That's the smallest possible amount. So what was wrong in the first lashon is obvious in the second lashon. So ma'ad detemekim mefarish dami kamashmalan. I might have thought that it should be treated like a mefarish, and therefore he should have to pay the cheapest real erech value and not get away with just paying a shekel. Kamashmalan, they didn't get it away with just paying a shekel. Davar Acher, we quote weiter from the Braisa, the Erkech Erech Kula, who knows, he knows, Erech Demei Evarim. He pays the Erech of his entire body, not just the Erech of Evarim. If he says, I hereby donate the Erech of my hand, he owes nothing, because his hand doesn't have an Erech. Iva Piktel Erech Stam, but didn't we already use this drasha to teach us Erech Stam? How can you use the same pasuk from the word Erkecha to teach me that there's no such thing as Erech of Evarim? So, Kari Be Erech Be Erkecha. So we make a double drasha because there are extra letters in the word berkecha. So then the Brisa went on to say, I might think to even exclude from erechin someone who makes an erech vow of his head, let's say, to say that he doesn't know anything. Tamalomar nefashos. That's what the Brisa says, nefashos. And then we said in the Brisa, nefashos below a sameis, that we darshan that you can make an erech, you cannot make an erech vow on a dead body. Iva pikte, but we just used nefashos a second earlier to tell me that you that an erech vow on nevesh haneshama tluya bo is considered a legitimate erech vow. So how can you use the word nefashos twice? And it's the Gemara Karibay Nefesh Nefashos, because it could have said Nefesh, but it says Nefashos. That opens it up for two drushes. Otsias HaMeis Velo Otsias HaGoseis. So the Brisa continued and said, oh, so maybe we should exclude a Meis, but not exclude a Goseis from Erech, and maybe a Goseis can still be Ne'arach. That's what the pasuk says. Vehem veherich. So im meis nami tebekli bevehem veherich. Ihachi meis nami tebekli bevehem veherich. Wait a second. If there's a din that you need ha'amada, shouldn't that be the reason why you can't give in the erech of a mace? Because a mace can't have ha'amada. A mace can't stand. Even a geises, we said, can't stand. Of course a mace can't stand. So why do you need to use nefashos to teach me that there's no erech vow on a dead body? You're right. Well, nefesh nefashos lamali. So what do I need the double expression of nefesh nefashos? Now that I know that the erich of a mace cannot be is means nothing based on the hemid v'herich. So what do I have nefesh nefashos for? All I need is so far is one drasha to teach me that the avir shanashamat fluyibo is a valid erich and vow. So says Mark Dibinul Meimer, come on. That's for all the other drashas of nefashos that we have quoted in the Braisa. Davracher nefashos, hein li alech acherich, echad ech acherich mei minayin. Tamlom nefashos. Right, that was another drasha we quoted in the Braisa from nefashos. Tell me that you can make an erich vow on 100 people at once. That was the what the Braisa seemed like the third drasha from nefashos. It turns out that it's only the second, because mace is actually learned out from Vav and Vaherich. Davracher, and a fourth drasha from nefashos. Or now with Arnucha has been a third drasha from nefashos. Ein li ala ish arich bein ish bein isha, isha sharicha ish, isha sharicha isha minayin. How do I know that a woman can make an erich vow? Tamalom nefashos. Davracher, the final drasha we have from nefashos, also in the Braisa. Nefashos, lavim nevul mukashkin. So frankly, we're wait a second. You can learn two things from nefashos, right? So we're learning four things from nefashos. We knocked it down from the Braisa's five that we learned from nefashos, but still we're learning four things from nefashos. Nefesh nefashos should only teach me two things, not four. So va'apikte lahanach, didn't we already use this word to teach me the first two items on our list? Says where now hanach l'tzrichi kra. You don't need a pasuk for the other items on the list. My taima kishakulhu v'yavo kulam. All of these drushos, meaning the if it only would have said nefesh, we would have figured that the halacha that davar shanashama tuliyabo, that if you make an erech of your head, you have to give your entire erech, and we would have figured that one person could be ma'arech 100 people, and we would have figured that a woman could be ma'arech, a woman could also be ma'arech. All of that are all equal drushos, that we would never have any reason to learn one of those drushos over the other two. So mela, all we need is one pasuk to tell me all three of those things. Because which drusha would we choose? None of them are stronger than the others. So one of the drushos we get to make from nefesh nefashos is for all three of those halachos. And then the second drusha we get to make from nefesh nefashos, the second drasha we get to make from nefashos is about a manuvel and a mukashchin. And a manuvel and a mukashchin, although they don't have damim, they do have an erech. Fine, period. V'haya erkecha, with the price that went right through and said, l'rabos tumtum v'androgynous l'damim. That comes to teach me that tumtum v'androgynous do have damim, even though they don't have an erech. If you say demay tumtum v'androgynous alai, you do have to pay their value on the slave market. So damim lamali kra lo yehel demay dikla. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me that they have damim? Even if they were just a tree, they would have damim. Everything has value. Ilu amar demay dikla milo yav. If you say I'm going to give the value, the damim of a dekel tree, wouldn't you have to give? Of course you'd have to give. So why should this be any different? Amar Rav Lomar Shenidon Bikvodon. The chiddush is to tell me that it's Nidon Bikvodon, that we view the entire thing based on one Aver that his entire covenant is Talion. If he says Deme Rosho Alai, you give his entire value. Meaning, by a tree, if you say, I'm going to give the Damim of that branch, then you only give the value of that branch. You don't give the value of the entire tree. No, but a tumtum v'androgynous is a human being. He's not a tree. And therefore, if you say, I'm going to give the damim of his head, you give the damim of his entire body. I might have thought we only follow such a pattern of when you say that I'm going to give the value of his head, they have to give his entire value. That's only for people who are included in the parasha of Eruchin. So then they're including this halacha of damim also, that when you say you can give the value of his head, give the value of his whole body, because Shaino Berich and Eino Nidon Bikvodo. And I would have thought that anyone who's not in the Parsha of Eirichin is not Nidon Bikvodo either. So Kamash Malan therefore comes to tell me that no, even a Tumtum Androgynous who doesn't have an Erech would still be Nidon Bikvodo. If they say that you can give the value of a said, you taka do give the value of a said. Let's just finish up. If someone does not include an Eirichin, Do we, in fact, still evaluate his entire worth based on saying that you can give the value of his head? Is that really true? Vatani, we have a brisa. Rosh Eved Zehegdish, if you say, I'm going to give the head of this Eved to Hegdish, who the Hegdish should from both? So he and Hegdish become partners in it. Rosh Eved Makrulak, if I say, I'm going to sell you the head of this Eved, Mishamna Binahim, we split the value of the Eved between each other. Rosh Chamor Zehegdish, if I say, I'm going to give the head of this Chamor to Hegdish, who the Hegdish should from both? So he and Hegdish are partners in it. Rosh Chamor Marchalach, I say, I'm going to sell you the head of this Chamor, Mishamna Benem. Again, we split it. Rosh Para Marchalach, by a para, it's a little different. If I say, I'm selling you the head of a para, Lo Machra La Rosh Shal Para. Then we don't split anything. I'm giving you only the head of the para. Lo Oda La Filu Rosh Para, Hekdish, Ein La Hekdish Ala Rosh. Even if you say that you're making the head of a para, Hekdish, Hekdish only gets the head. So by para, the head is distinct from the rest of the body. By an Eved, by a Chamor, it's not distinct from the rest of the body. But nor does the rest of the body become nigrar after the head. You would split it. Vamrav Papa, the Hamizdavin Rachel Datura Bibetavka. The reason a para is different is because you could sell in a butcher shop the head of a para. You can't sell in a butcher shop the head of a chamor, the head of an eved. Vachamaru para less lube erichin. But wait a second, let's think about this. An eved is included in erichin, but neither a chamor nor a para is included in the parsha of erichin. And you see that we're not nidon bekvado. We don't say that you're when you say the head, it automatically means the value of their entire body. So you see that it's not that even though these things are not included in Erechin, they're still a nidon bekvado. Maybe it's because they're not included in Erechin. Maybe that's the point, that whatever something is not included in Erechin, it's not nidon bekvado. So how can you say that a tumtum and drogonis who are not included in Erechin are still nidon bekvado? So Tameich, if that's your kasha, tikshilach eved. You should ask the kasha by an eved, because an eved is the other way. Diisei be'erichin vei nidon bekvodo. An eved is included in erichin, and he's not nidon bekvodo. Elo kasha, habukachim zbech, habukachim bedek abayis. You have to say that this brice is kachim zbech. When you say Rosh Chamor, or this eved, goes for Hegdish, it means for Dmei Ola. We're trying to make it Kachim Mizbech. That's where we say that it's not Nidon Bikvodo. But we, when we're talking about Damim, when we're talking about Erechin, in our Masechta, we're talking about Kachim Bedek Abayis. Then you would say that it is Nidon Bikvodo, even when you're dealing with an item that is not the Erechin. It would still be Nidon Bikvodo. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up again tomorrow from a couple of lines from the bottom. B'mayu Kimto, three lines from the bottom.